Morning. 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 No sound? No sound? Power? Am I good? Ooh, are we good now? All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to have you all here. Just before we get started this morning, I'll talk more about a little bit more about my trip when I start speaking today. But one of the things, I had a phone call Friday night or something from a former youth group kid of mine from years ago, and she runs Young Life now. She's our Young Life director. And so she asked if she could, one of her senior leaders, senior being senior high boy, wanted to do a night of worship and wanted a space to do it. So poor Nick, yesterday after men's breakfast, I said, "You're not doing anything right now, are you? We need to get that small auditorium back up to speed for worship." And so we spent a couple hours doing that, and then they came and practiced yesterday. So we're going to have, they're going to have a night of worship, and they invite anybody that wants to come to that. It's at 7 o'clock, I think, to see what, you know, to watch some youth come and worship God. So I was pretty excited about that, that room is being used back for, hasn't been used, I don't think, for worship in that setting for a couple years, I think. So anyway, I'm excited about that, so I'll be here to kind of see what's going on with that, and it will not interrupt your prayer time, Doug, because I was here, and Nick told me they were cranked back there, and I couldn't hear nothing, so it's really cool. So we can have things going on in different parts of the building, and that's awesome. So we do have our night of prayer, too, for those of you that don't know. So it's at 7 o'clock, correct, Doug? Are you having it this week? Okay. I'm just making sure, because I know it's getting close to the snow machine trip, so I didn't know if you guys are packing or whatever, so... Anyway, so it's just super cool. I love having that opportunity. It's great to have this building open for that kind of things. You know, that we care about our community, that we care about these young lives. And I will have at some point here in the near future have Jonna come and share on a Sunday morning about Young Life, and so you'll get to hear all the particulars about that and the power and the impact that it's having in our community to the unchurched youth. So, all right, let's open the word of prayer and then we'll worship. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can just come. And Father, we thank you that just all the amazing things that you're doing in our lives, and the things that we get to be part of, the things that we get to just see you working. And Father, I love when we have expectations how things are going to go, and then you totally just turn it around. It's nothing like what we expected. So, Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And, Father, we just pray this morning, as we pray so often, Father, that if we're carrying some weight this morning, that we would just drop that off today, that we would just lay it at your feet in our time of worship. May it be a sacrifice of praise. And we thank you that you receive our offerings this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Lands of praise and treasures that fade. Never enough. And you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing won't buy me again. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grace into glories. You turn bones into lollies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn gold into dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grace into gardens. Into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
I was buried. rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
Of that song. We thank you that you called our name. You called us by name, not by anybody else's name, Lord. You didn't say you come out of the grave, because you have the power to raise so many people out of the grave. You singled us out and you called us by our name. You called us by our identity in you. Not by the identity of the old person, but you called us into this new life, into the newness that comes with living with you, Lord. We thank you for that invitation, Lord. We thank you that we can come into this marvelous light and spread it to those who are still in their darkness. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, great I am.
Power in hell or any who can.
crushing honor of you. Skies break to make way for you. Worship our glorious. Worship our glorious. Mountains bow down at your throne. Valleys rise up to adore. Worship our glorious. Worship our glorious.
Something about that name.
Jesus, that is above all other names. We thank you that we can be your children, that we can be sons and daughters, that our identity rests in you, not in what the world tells us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So that song came out of the women's group yesterday. They met, and I was informed that we should do this song this morning. So it's been a while since I've done the song. I've also learned that my education of my daughter has been lacking because she had no idea what this song was. So that's all right. If that's the only thing I failed in, I'll be happy, which isn't true. But it was really interesting. It was interesting, the glorious God before that, as I was singing that, I was remembering our time that we spent in Juneau this week. We jetted out of here last week really quickly, only to get to the airport and realize I'd misread the time, and we were like 3 hours early. My wife was not so happy. I was like, why do I always have to do this? I'm like, because I'd rather do this than crashing through at the last minute, and it's like, final boarding for the Sagers, and like, I hate that. Not that that's happened, I'm just saying, hypothetically. I don't like being late for anything. But anyway, our trip to Juneau was amazing. I know I've been kind of, if you guys have been here for any length of time, you've kind of been hearing a little bit of the saga I've been talking about. It was about a month or so ago, I don't remember exactly the time frame, but it's been fairly recent when I said that we were going to be potentially closing that church down because it just didn't, there wasn't any life left in it, and it just wasn't being impactful in the community. And so we were starting that process of putting what our association calls a legacy, where we're going to go in and sell the properties and use that money to reinvest in ministry. And then it was a couple weeks after that initial meeting with them, and they got a hold of a pastor there locally who used to pastor that church years ago. His name is Kermit Wilson and his wife Lori. So keep them in your prayers because they're going to need it. And so they started the process of. They're a provisional church now. Is that the right word? But anyway, they're on provisional. Yeah, that's the word. So for the next year, they're going to see if they can make a go of it. And so we went down to kind of assess structurally the building, what it looked like, because we'd heard kind of horror stories about what it was going to look like and the atmosphere and all that kind of thing. And so we went, at least I went with that expectation of walking into absolute chaos and destruction in this building. Now, their building looks really similar to ours. There's some things that are different about it, but the basic layout is the same. And we got there Sunday afternoon, walked into the auditorium. I mean, they've got these really cool, funky 70s yellow padded pews. They're going away. They're going away. Well, they're something to behold, for sure. but we walked in, and there was about, when we showed up, there was probably no less than, I don't know, 8 or 9 people working already. And they had showed up, and I can't remember if it was a Saturday. No, I think it was a Saturday, the day before we got there. Like 12 people showed up and worked for like 14 to 16 hours gutting that place. And they took like 3 trailer loads to the dump of just broken stuff that was in like
So think about our children's room and those rooms being full of broken chairs and broken toys and just stuff, right? So they gutted all that. And what was cool, Kermit was telling me, is these 12 people that showed up, some of them are former members from years ago. And some of them, I don't know if they're all former members, but he said when they first started at the beginning of the day, they were quiet. Kind of somber. And said the more they got the stuff out of that room, out of that building, the more life came back. They started laughing and joking and remembering good things that happened there years ago. And please hear me, I'm not discrediting or wanting to any way disparage people that have been there. That's not my intent. But what I'm saying is I went there with an expectation, and it wasn't even close to what I ran into. There was people there. We were there from Sunday afternoon till we left Wednesday morning, and there was people there every day working. There was people there providing lunches for us every day. There was so much life in there, I couldn't believe it. There was a lot of sadness. There was a lot of things that we walked through the building and prayed over and anointed. There's something about walking through a building, anointing doorposts with oil and praying that changes the atmosphere. And so we just had this opportunity to pour into Kermit and his wife, and we ended Wednesday morning with prayer for him. We had him come and sit in the chair, and Devonna and the other couple that was there, Don and Cheryl Watkins, they're from Fairbanks, our sister church in Fairbanks, and JR and myself and Devonna prayed over him, and then the three ladies that were there working, we had them come in and pray over him as well. It's a powerful thing to be part of a body of Christ. And they're going to continue to need our prayers. And they're going to continue to need, if we have the opportunity to go back this summer and help them with boots on the ground, it's going to be awesome. Because I'm going back. I don't know when. I have an idea when I want to go back. I don't think it's going to happen. But they're launching their first Sunday in the building, Easter. So you think about perfect time to launch a church, Resurrection Sunday. They're resurrecting this church. Hallelujah. And here's my prediction. If they're not the biggest church in the state in 5 years, I'll be shocked. Because that's their goal. No, because of the heart of the people that are already there. And the attitude. I mean, I watched a young couple come in. They were friends of JR's, and they came in and were just talking to us, and they were invited to come to Easter service, and Kermit was sitting there, and he invited them to come, and you could just see the light up on their face just being invited. It's like, wow, that's cool. I mean, I wanted to take their baby. She's like 6 months old, and her name is Magnolia. I mean, she's absolutely beautiful. But, you know, they didn't let me wear near her, which is a good thing. But this the life that was there was so transformational because I was not expecting that. I was expecting to go into war and expecting to go, and there was some war that happened in some of those rooms because there were some very destructive things that happened in some of those rooms. Some of those things that, for whatever the atmosphere was over the years, but here's the thing, that's the past. We're moving into the future. The history of this church isn't all that good in some ways too, but here's the thing. We're continuing to move forward. We're going to continue to redeem what the enemy tries to steal. That's one of the things that we prayed Wednesday. It's like, we want interest back. We want the years that the locusts have stolen. That's what we want back. We want to see that community, that little church in Juneau radically change our state's capital. That's the impact they have. Right? You want to talk about a place of power for God to get involved. I'm not saying there's not other churches in Juneau doing some cool stuff, but I'm just saying one that we can be part of. Pretty excited about that. Because we're all good about talking about the church at large. We're all part of the body. We talk about that a lot. We preach about it a lot. But here's an opportunity to put boots on the ground and be part of it. Because they're actually part of us. I know I talk a lot about our association. I need to talk more about it. But how we are connected And here's another opportunity. I'm going to get to preaching, but this is important. We have an opportunity here locally over in Palmer Church right now. They have a food pantry. They had something catastrophic fall apart last week, Friday. Their director of it left. They need drastic help. So if anybody's got any kind of time at the beginning of the week to, and I don't know what it looks like, so I'll give you details as I get them. But I just know they're going to need help. This week they're not going to hand out food because they don't even know where stuff's coming from or where it's going or anything right now. Right? But here's an opportunity to get involved with a local body, our sister church over in Palmer, to minister to our community that's already set up. This ministry's already set up. We don't have to fabricate it. We don't have to come up with anything. We just have to figure out how to do it. Right? How cool is that? So if you have opportunity, if you have some, I know it's in the middle of the day and most people are working, I get that, but if you have some time you can carve out and commit for a while or for a longer indefinite time, please come see me. I know JR and their board over there would be ecstatic for any kind of help we can give them. Is that not what we're supposed to be doing as the body of Christ? Amen? All right. I'll get off that before I get really on my soapbox. All right. We are in 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, continuing on, verse 13. I write these things to you that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. I don't know how far I get into this, but I know this is probably some of the misquoted scripture in the Word of God. Because somebody could look at that scripture and go, if I ask God for something, he's bound to give it to me. Have you heard that preached that way? If I ask, but I don't know if I'm going to get to that point yet, but I just want to make sure that we see that if we ask anything according to what? There's that little caveat that most people don't want to look at. And they skip over. But I love how he's writing here. It's like, I write these things to you may believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. And we've been talking about this over and over again. But do we know that we have eternal life? I mean, it's easy to say, again, those of us have been coming to church for a long time, do we know, why does he keep seeming to repeat himself? And throughout Scripture, we see this over and over again. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Are you sure? Where's the evidence? We were talking about that a little bit in men's breakfast yesterday. Where's the evidence in our life? Do we have the confidence to come in and ask whatever it is that we're asking of God? Do we have the confidence in our relationship with Father that when we're asking for something, we know it's his will? Are we coming in with our own agenda? And again, I don't have a problem with asking Father for things that may be outside his will. I'm not talking about things that are bad. Right? Just maybe it's just a good idea I have, and maybe that's not according to his will, and sometimes he's like, son, that's not what I want to give you, because what I have for you is a lot better. I know, but God, but it feels like this is really good. He's like, no. Trust me, I have a perfect plan for you, and I have a perfect thing for you. Where is your confidence? Do you have the confidence to come and talk to me about what's on your heart and mind? Do you have this confidence toward me that you can come and ask whatever it is? But you know when you come and ask, it's going to be according to my will. What kind of confidence do you have in your relationship with God? And that's where I want to kind of jump on this morning. What kind of confidence do you have? And I love looking up words. And confidence means freedom in speaking. Unreservedness in speech. How free are you when you're speaking to Father? How confident are you in your relationship with him? Do you just come to him when you're... when your thought process is correct. I laugh because I don't know if our thought processes are correct. But, I mean, do you ever get mad at God? I mean, you've heard me say probably more than I talk a lot about having very blunt conversations with Father in my car and other places. Do you ever feel like that's a wrong thing? And that's what I'm talking about. It's about respect, becoming this freedom of speaking, unreservedness in speech. And we look through Scripture. We look at, you know, as I was looking through some of the other things in my studies of looking at, you know, how Paul talked to people. He kind of didn't pull much punches when he was talking to people, right? Because he was confident in what he was saying, because that's what Father told him to say. Another definition here is free and fearless confidence. I love that. Cheerful courage. Cheerful courage. This confidence is just something that should transform our lives. When we come to this place of asking, Father, I know there's many, many times in my own life where I've asked God for things, and there's still things I'm asking God for. I'm still praying for healing for people that I love in my life. Right? Absolutely radical transformational healing. And I'm going to keep praying that until either he tells me to shut up verbally, right? Or it happens. Not just because he hasn't answered in my time frame, and I know I've said this before, just because he hasn't answered in my time frame doesn't mean he's not a healing God. But we go there. But here's the thing. He's like, look, keep coming, talk to me. Is it shaking my confidence in him, or is it drawing me in going, Father, what do you want to talk to me about? What is your will? What am I praying that's not lining up with your will? Because your word tells me if I ask anything according to your will, you won't just hear me, you'll do it. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read this whole chapter here. I know it seems like, well, it's a lot of scripture, but it's important. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are beginning to commend ourselves again. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. A letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. What a statement. I want to talk about confidence. How are they seeing? They're seeing us not on letters of recommendation written on paper, but on our hearts and known to be read by all. Is that not how we're supposed to be known by the world? They'll know us by our what? By our love. By our love. Right, so that means we should walk in any kind of situation in the world, and people should know we are Christians by our love. Does the world know that we are Christians? Do we love at that level? Do we have this confidence to step into this place of my life is this living letter? I love that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. On the tablets of our hearts. Man, what a place of confidence. What a place, and that's the place we're coming from to ask Father things like, man, I am a living letter. You ever thought of yourself being a living letter? I didn't think about that until I read this. Like, that's pretty cool. I know for most of you don't know what a letter is. It's this old-fashioned way of communicating with pen and paper. That's a letter. You know, it's kind of like an email, but it's not digital. All right, so some of this I might have to translate. Okay. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. See that? Such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God. So even the ability to have confidence to have these requests comes to the ability through our relationship with Jesus Christ. I love how he just takes all the work out of it. And we're like banging our head against the walls. Like, oh, it's so hard. Like, I try to make this as simple as I can. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from him, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And be careful when you see that word minister going, oh, that's just Pastor Mark's job. No. That's all of us. It's all included in that verse. Now, if the ministry of death carved in large stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which is being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For there was glory in the ministry of condemnation. The ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what is being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's what? Man, you guys excited about being free or not? We have freedom in Christ, and this is confidence. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. I know there's lots there. But here's the thing I want us to catch here. We have such a greater confidence than even Moses had. We think about the life of Moses and the encounter that he had with God and that amazing moment that we can only imagine what his face looked like when it was so bright that people couldn't look at it and they covered it over the veil. We have a greater thing than that inside of us. We have a greater confidence where Moses had, you know, he visited God and he got the Ten Commandments and all that kind of stuff. But we have the whole counsel of God. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives to walk with confidence into wherever we go. And I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but man, until we look differently, we got to keep talking about it. Until I look, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Until I look different, until I walk out my doors of my house, or I walk out the doors of this church, and I walk into Walmart or wherever I am, and like, you must be a Christian. Not because I say anything about God, but because of the love that is radiating out of my body. That's how I understand Scripture. Right? Am I wrong? But what would happen if we as a church did this? I'm not saying that we're not doing this to some degree, but we need to do this better. And it's not about working. It's about, for me, it's about like getting out of my own way, stepping into this place of confidence, stepping into this place of relationship, stepping into this place of understanding. Like, man, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm not bound up by the laws. I'm not bound up by anything but other than love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and love people like I've been loved. Like I am currently being loved right now by Father God. Like I am currently being loved right now by Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's the confidence I need to walk in. I must walk in. And if I'm walking anything less than that, I'm doing a disservice to my Lord. Am I going to do it perfectly? No, it's not about perfection, but it's about this new understanding. Again, it just kind of came so clear when we were, again, down in Juneau in those moments of prayer over Kermit and it wasn't about, oh, you guys, this is an amazing prayer. No, it wasn't about that. It was about the presence of the living God hanging out with his kids and changing the atmosphere of a building because of where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's freedom. Let's see if I can get through one more section here. Ephesians chapter 3. So one thing, going back to 2 Corinthians, don't go back there, but this one thing that I got out of it too is this confidence, the confidence that we can have in Christ transforms my life. Confidence transforms. It gives you all kinds of ability to step into situations you don't have the strength in yourself to step into. It gives you the confidence to step into a place and sense and and discern the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere in that place, and to pray specifically into that situation. And that's not just for, I mean, there's some people that have that easier than others, but we all have that ability because we're all filled with the same Holy Spirit. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Confidence comes from being rooted and grounded in love. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Which sounds like a contradicting statement. Sounds unknowable, but here, have the knowledge to know it. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. One thing I do know without a shadow of a doubt, when the scripture tells me it's possible, then it's possible. I mean, think about that. To have the confidence in this place, to have this starting and beginning of understanding that I'm so rooted in this place, grounded in love, that I can begin to understand the height, the length, the depth of what Father has in store for not just me, but for all of us. I mean, think about families that are safe, families that love their kids, they love each other, they're rooted and grounded, in love, right? And not saying, I should say all the time, but there's always things that happen, but I'm saying when children are raised in that kind of environment, what do they walk in? Confidence. Because they know who they are, right? They know who they belong to. They know that they have a mom and a dad. They have people that love them and pour into them, and they are rooted and grounded, and they're being poured into from mom and dad. In our scenario here, they're being poured into by the church. And if we're not pouring into each other, if we're not pouring into those little ones that ran back there a few moments ago, if we're not pouring into them, we're missing the point. If they're not being rooted and grounded, and if the parents don't quite understand that because of their background, we need to be teaching them. Amen? Thank you. Because we all know, I don't have to tell you this, we're all living in a place where people do not understand this. It'd be interesting to know within a mile of this church how many busted, broken families are in a mile radius of our building. Why? Because they're not rooted and grounded in Christ. Because here's the thing. It says here in 19, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, for that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I don't even know what that means. I just know I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. I know I want to have the love of Christ. I would love the day to walk into a place, not say a word, and they're going, you must be a Christian. after I get up off the floor, I'm going to have a fun conversation. And they might not use that word, right? I was in a place recently where somebody was talking about, I don't know how he got a conversation about exes. I'm like, I don't have exes. I said, I've been married for almost 30 years now. And they were like stunned, right? Like, man. There's a lady, she's like, I couldn't put up with a man for 30 years. You've run into the wrong kind of man. But my point was, what was interesting about it is having this conversation with this lady that I didn't know from anybody and being able to have a conversation with this woman and just go on and on about the joys of a committed relationship. And you can see the softening of the heart and the change in the face. But how are we loving? How are we showcasing that? How is that coming out? How is that coming out in what we're doing? That's why I was super excited about being part of what's going on over at Palmer, because we're going to have the opportunity to run into people that are hurting on a Wednesday. Every single Wednesday, we're going to be handing them food. The food has nothing to do with it. Yes, they need their bellies filled, but that's not what I'm excited about. I'm excited about running into people and being able to care about these people in a way that I would never had the opportunity to until now. Not that I could have been a part of it before this, but, you know, it's just God has a timing for these things. And I'm just saying we need to be involved there. We need. I know Juno's a little bit farther away. It's a little harder to get to logistically. I get it. But we can be praying, and they're going to need it. Because the enemy's going to come back against them because he's had a stronghold there for a while in the sense that they've been ineffectual to some degree. And he does not like the idea of that thing relaunching. I don't know if I told you the name of the place, the name of the church they relaunched in the name, and it's called Safe Harbor. What a beautiful name for a church. Because that should not be, whether it's on our sign or not, should that not be the heart and the mindset of every church across the world? That is a safe harbor for people to come and receive hope and healing and love and forgiveness and freedom and run into God. And they're only going to do that through us. But we got to care enough. One of the words that Kermit used, he's like, it's going to get messy. Yeah, it's going to get messy. Awesome. I like messy in that way. I don't like messy clutter buildings, but I like messy. If it's moving in a direction, I like messy. But messy makes people uncomfortable because that mess might get on me. No, you're getting on them. All right? So pray. I don't know how you pray this morning. Definitely pray for Juno Church. Pray for Palmer Church. They're going through some things outside of that food pantry as well. But there's some really cool things happening. And I'm excited to be, and I'm going to try to be better about promoting and talking about all our sister churches that we have across the state and how we can come together. Whatever that looks like, I don't quite know. But we need to support and build each other up and walk in this place together and in our separate areas that Father has called us to minister into. The enemy doesn't like that idea, I'm telling you. And he's going to try to shatter our confidence, and we keep coming back. And yeah, but I was told I can have the understanding of all the length and the breadth and height. I can have confidence to walk because of who Christ is in me. The hope of glory, right, Doug? Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you didn't memorize any other scripture, I think there's a little more to it, but just that part of the verse. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have the hope. We have the answers. I talk about it, I'll keep talking about it until you all throw me out. We have the answers. We don't, but Christ in us has the answers to all the problems in our nation and our world. And I want to be part of the bride waking up. The bride being something that I'm not saying she's never been, but oh, I just want it to look different than I've ever seen her. But that has to start with me. That has to start with you. So as we take just a few minutes this morning, we're going to close out in prayer. I'm just going to close this morning. But as you go home this morning, as you go throughout your, even today, I would ask that you pray for Juno, that you pray for Kermit and Lori, as the pastor and his wife's name. Because he's going to be stepping in it. So keep them in your prayers as much as you can, as much as they come to mind, as Father brings them to mind. Keep prayer palmers there, stepping into this, the things that they got going on over there. Pray for your brothers and sisters in this room. And just ask Father. I know we have the prayer chain. That's great. Pray for those things. But there's also things that don't go through that that Father will bring to mind. So let's pray for those things. Let's close this morning. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can have the confidence to come and ask. Father, I don't have to question when I asked, is it your will to pray for our brothers and sisters starting new ministries or struggling with a ministry? I don't have to ask if that's in you. Well, I know it is. So, Father, we pray for Kermit and Lori this morning. We pray for all those, the members that are there already, the ones that are going to be coming. Father, we pray protection over them. We pray that they would just see your glory in that place. That it wouldn't even visually, yes, it's going to be somewhat same structurally, but Father, when they walk in, that the sense of your power and your glory is just so, that they can feel it physically when they walk in. It's like walking through a wall of power. That's why I pray for them this morning. Father, our sister church in Palmer, Father JR and Nora, as they lead that place this morning, they've been through some heartache over the last, oh, wow, now. Father, we pray you continue for healing to that situation. Father, we pray provision for people to step up and help out with this ministry at the food bank. But Father, it's not about, like I just said a moment ago, it's not about the food. But Father, I pray as whoever gets involved here and whoever else goes there, Father, that they would walk into that place with the attitude and the position to minister and love on those people. Father, I'm excited to see what you're going to do here in this place. I have high expectations. And I know my expectations of you are not even close to what you're going to do. So Father, I pray as we pray that you would reveal your will to us. That we're praying, lining up with what you want to talk to us about. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.